All right, well, we'll get started. We want to welcome you to the last session before lunch. As soon as Pastor McNair is over, then we'll go upstairs and eat. No pressure. Well, this is Pastor Merv McNair. He is pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Lebanon, Indiana, and one of my personal heroes when I got saved as a teenager. Started attending the Central Indiana Youth Rallies, and Pastor McNair was a youth pastor at Lighthouse in Indianapolis. And so as a teenager, I looked up to him and thought that's the kind of youth pastor I want to be. Moving right along. So we love Pastor McNair. He is excellent, and he will be speaking today on creating soul-winning opportunities. Let's give him a warm Faith Baptist Church welcome.
Light on. We're on here. All right. I'll see. Now, that's got a little static, and it's not hitting my lapel. So I'm going to take my jacket off here just in case. If you all open your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 4. Hey, the meetings of the workshops have been great. The first two I've been to have certainly ministered to me. All right, Ecclesiastes 11, verse 4. Faith Baptist, you've done a great job of hosting this. Excellent job. You've got some exciting things taking place here. And I want it to rub off. I want to get a little of that on me. And those people that came with me, I want it to rub off on them so that when we go back to Lebanon, it'll just kind of reach out and grab other people. Well, my workshop is Creating Soul-Winning Opportunities. It will overlap a little bit with Brother Kevin Albert's. As I thought about this subject, and I want to start with this verse. Matter of fact, this verse came to my mind shortly after I was invited to teach this workshop. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 4. Do you have it? If you don't have it, just pretend like you do. I'm going to go ahead and read it, and then we're going to have a word of prayer, okay? Verse 4, the Bible says, "He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap." What does that have to do with soul winning? A lot. Let's go and have a word of prayer here together, okay? Father, thank you for the Bible. Thank you, Father, for good fellowship. And thank you, Father, for the work this church is doing. May you continue to bless Brother Monty and the good staff here, Lord. Fill them with your Spirit. Bless all the pastors here, Lord, as they are doing workshops. Encourage them, revive them, and use them, Father, to help us. Lord, I pray that you'd help me now to present this in a way that would stir some people up, Lord Jesus. Lord, I know I'm not going to say a whole lot of new things to some people, but maybe I can just encourage them, Father, to get busy with what they know. Lord, work in our hearts. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. That particular verse tells us that, you know, if we want, we can find an excuse not to do what God wants us to do anytime. If we observe the wind, oh, well, I can't throw my seat out because it's too windy. Better not do it today. If we observe the cloud, well, I can't go bring in the harvest now because it's going to rain on us and we don't want anything to get ruined. And there's always going to be an excuse not to witness. Always. And so we're just going to have to get over that thing and realize, listen, rather than look for excuses not to do what God wants me to do, man, I got to look for ways to get done what God wants me to get done. That's just the fact of life, okay? In this area of soul winning, God wants us to be soul winners, and there's nothing more exciting than leading people to Christ. Outside of me personally leading someone to Christ, the most exciting thing after that for me is having a new soul winner with me, either allowing them to see someone get saved or watching them lead someone to the Lord their very, very first time. Man, that fires me up. That gets me going, man. And that'll hold you over for quite a while. But I want to just challenge you as we begin here. And obviously, you're here because you want to win souls. But, hey, don't let circumstances and everyday problems keep you from going soul winning. Your feelings are going to go up and down. You're going to have to schedule this kind of thing. Opportunities come to those who look for them. They come to those who look for them. You know, if you're playing, how many of you play basketball or football, anything like that? I got a few of you. You know, when you're on the court, if you're like most people, you want the ball. And if you want the ball, you're going to be looking to get the ball, man. Throw me the ball. You got your eye on the ball the whole time. And that's what we got to be about this area of soul winning, because there are opportunities all around us, really. There really are. Now, I've got five things here I'm going to give you, and I'll go through this fairly quick because I got some stories I got to share with you. Number one, the very first thing, and this might seem redundant to you, but get fired up about soul winning. See, now that's not the lapel. That was my finger touching this little box here. Okay, I won't do that again. Get fired up about soul winning. I mean, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:11, Paul says, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." And he was so aware of the fact that there's a real hell that it was on his heart constantly. Constantly. When I first got saved, I didn't need a Bible course in the reality that my mom and dad need to hear this message. My friends need to hear this message. And even my brothers need to hear this message. I mean, the very fact that I was born again, not going to hell, and that this simple message of salvation through Jesus Christ by faith was all I needed to redeem my soul, man, I realized people need to hear about this. They need to hear about this. And of course, as you learn the Bible and hear the preaching and people that preach the Word of God, that just reinforces what the Spirit of God has already put in your heart if you're saved. Get fired up about it. When your heart is ready, you will be ready. You'll be looking. Now, when I first started going soul winning, I didn't have a plan, didn't have a method. Here was my mode of soul winning. Hi, I'm Merv McNair. Are you born again? Man, they looked at you. What? And if they said yes, or if they said no, I said, well, do you want to be? And if they said no, I said, okay, and I was done. You know, and so certainly if you didn't get a chance to sit in Brother Albert's class, certainly you've got men in this church that can teach you a good plan in regards to how to win people to Christ. But stay fired up about winning people to Christ. Number two, I'm going to move through these quick, fairly quick. Number two, set goals for soul winning. I'm going to tell you what, as a pastor, soul winning opportunities come to me without trying. Okay? But I realize that's not the case for lay people. And by the way, I shouldn't, as a pastor, allow that to be my excuse for not getting out in the highways and hedges either. I mean, I get convicted about that. But the fact of the matter is, I've went through seasons where just a couple of weeks going out door to door. And you just justify it because somebody got saved at the altar or something like that. Bible says confess your faults one to another, you know, so I'm doing that. And, you know, you can confess yours to me afterward. But anyways, I've learned this. The thing that helps me more than anything else is when I determine on a piece of paper and I make myself accountable to somebody else that I'm going soul winning this day with this person and I'm going to go out this amount of time. Or if I set a yearly goal and I try to, 2 years ago, I had a goal of winning 100 people to Christ. And that type of goal, some people can take that wrong because some people might think, well, you're just trying to get people to say a prayer, and I don't want that. But I did set that goal, and what it did was it motivated me to get out there and talk to people. I mean, to give them the gospel. Set a goal. I guarantee you, you're not going to hit what you don't aim at. I'll guarantee you might miss what you aim at, but you'll definitely not hit what you don't aim at. I mean, we got to have a goal. We got to have something we aim at. And so 1 Corinthians 9:23 and 24, Paul said, "This I do for the gospel's sake," in verse 23. And in verse 24, he says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain." I like that. Paul had a purpose. He understood where he was going. Later on in verse 26, he says, "I don't run as one who doesn't know where he's going. I don't fight as one who's beating the air. I know what I'm doing. I know the direction I'm going. I've got a course that's set ahead of me, and I'm going after it." And we need to do that in regards to being soul winners. We got to go after it. Now, I know you're still wondering, what about this creating soul winning opportunities? I'll get to this here. By the way, you're creating them by going. Amen. If you don't have the mindset or the heart set, it doesn't matter if there are opportunities around us. We first of all got to take advantage of the obvious. There's a message there. We got to take advantage of the obvious. Why is God going to give us the inconspicuous opportunities if we're not taking advantage of the obvious opportunities? Thank you, Jesus. That's a good thought. Wasn't even in the notes. I'm going to say that again. If we're not taking advantage of the obvious opportunities to win people to Christ, why would God give us the inconspicuous opportunities to win people to Christ? And there is a great truth here, ladies and gentlemen. The great truth is, when you're faithful to the obvious, God will give you the inconspicuous. I don't know how many times God has brought people across my path just because I was available and ready and I was looking. And lo and behold, man, I might have been reading my Bible at a McDonald's or something like that, and somebody saw me and they said, do you go to church anywhere? Well, sure. There's a soul-winning opportunity. Somebody saw me praying at a restaurant, and they looked over and they said, they got a broken heart. I've had people come up to me and say, could you pray for me? They didn't even know I was a preacher. They just saw me pray. But I'm telling you what, take advantage of the obvious, and God will give you the inconspicuous opportunities. Next, number three. So number one, get fired up about souls. Number two, set goals for soul winning. If you don't do that, you'll go out the door with a heart on fire, but you won't have a plan, you won't do it, and the fire will go out. Set some goals, man. Make yourself accountable. Number three, be sociable. Now, sometimes I can come across as though I'm very sociable, but sometimes I don't want to be around people. But the fact of the matter is, if you're going to be a witness for the cause of Christ, you're going to have to come out of your shell and talk to people. Yeah. You're just going to have to do it. The Bible says in Psalms 107, verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I remember the first time I went soul winning and listening to Brother Albert's bringing back some memory. But Dr. Cal Streeter up at First Baptist Church of Hammond had taken me out and got me excited about this thing. And man, it was so in my heart to tell people about Christ during the week that I couldn't wait for next Saturday. I grabbed a handful of tracks. I didn't have a plan. I knocked on the door and I just wonder what they're going to do. You know, my mind would go blank at the door. I'd give them a track and I didn't know what to say. Just, hi, you want to go to church? And I'd move on. But you got to be sociable. You got to learn to talk to people. You just got to learn how to come out of yourself. Talk to people. You know, Romans 12, verse 15, the Bible says, weep with them that weep and rejoice with them that rejoice. And if we're sociable, if we're paying attention, if our heart and mind is thinking about winning people to Christ, we're going to see opportunities. You're going to see somebody hurting. You're going to see somebody happy, man. Be excited for their victories and successes. And those who are heavy-hearted, go tell them, man, I want to pray with you. I want to help you. Be sociable. We've got to learn to talk to people. Let's give people some hope. Number four, be flexible and have fun. Be flexible and have fun. Hey, listen. Don't get all worked up about this thing and be so stiff and formal that you make coffee nervous, man. Listen, you just got to go out and decide, I'm going to have fun. I've went into million-dollar neighborhoods and knocked on doors and just decided I'm going to have a good time. I believe, like Brother Albert said, you got to dress appropriately. You've got to be first class. But don't be so stiff as a board that people don't know how to take you. Just smile and act like you're supposed to be there. I'll tell you, one of the great soul-winning stories of my life. When we first started the church up in Lebanon, man, we had a good soul-winning group going out. We would take a van every Saturday and we'd go to certain neighborhoods and drop people off. And we had about 15 to 16 of us out this one particular Saturday. And I was just encouraging people every week. Come on, you got to go soul-winning. 10 o'clock is when we're meeting, or 11 o'clock in the summertime, or 10 o'clock in the summertime, 11 in the wintertime. I said, you got to be out there. And I remember this one particular Saturday, a man named John Harris showed up, and he had just started attending our church. And John was definitely one of those backwards fellas. And don't get me wrong, but he didn't have a full deck he was dealing with. He wasn't, you know, didn't have both oars in the water. But he was a good guy. Loved the Lord. He was faithful to church. Okay, and John just showed up. Man, he was there. He was helpful. He had a sincere heart. And I was getting everybody partnered up, and John showed up in a t-shirt with a hole in it, and work boots and jeans. And there's nothing wrong with that in certain settings. The t-shirt said, Greasy Pit Cafe. A little hole there in his belly. Thank God he didn't have a hairy belly. I didn't have the heart to tell John to go home and change. You know, he's there, he wants to go soul winning. He's excited about winning people to Christ. Lo and behold, I checked on the map and realized I had mapped out a very nice neighborhood to go soul winning at. I mean, I'm the guy heading all of this up. And so I said, John, why don't you go with me today? And I hooked it because it wouldn't have been well if I'd hooked him up with other people. We got everybody hooked up. We got in the van. We went to this neighborhood in Lebanon. It's a pretty ritzy neighborhood. I'm talking $500,000 homes, if not higher. And I dropped everybody off, and I said, okay, John, you and I'll take this street. And I got to the second house, and I said, I was thanking God nobody was home at the first house. And finally I said, John, I'll tell you what, brother, I got a special place for you and I to go soul winning. Because to be honest with you, if I would have answered the door and saw John and I'd have thought, that guy's the schmoozer and that guy's the hitman. I'm serious. Old John, greasy pit cafe t-shirt, work boots, hole in the belly, no front teeth. Yeah. And here he is. And, you know, I'm all dressed up. Hi, how you I don't know if they'd have bought into all of that. Not that I'm trying to sell them anything, but I just didn't feel at peace with that. By the way, this is an incident where I had to learn to be flexible. Just had to work with it without hurting his feelings. I said, John, I got an idea. We got back in the van. We went to a different location in town. We knocked on two doors, and God is my witness. This is the most amazing story. The second door I knocked on, a fellow named Dennis Demery answered the door. He had Coke bottle glasses. He's only about 28 at the time. Black, greasy hair, right about to there. I mean, big, horn-rimmed Coke bottle glasses. He opens that door, and he's looking at John and I. I introduce myself. Hi, I'm Pastor Merv McNair, and this is John Harris. And the very first words out of his mouth, God is my witness, is,
man, I like that shirt.
He was as serious as a heart attack. He liked that shirt. I said, you know, so do I. Praise the Lord. And I went on talking to him. That guy got saved. He trusted Christ. The next house we went to, we led another family to the Lord. I said, hallelujah. You just got to learn to be flexible and have fun. Go with it. Go with the flow. Yeah. You know, schedules and other expectations are not always going to go as planned. You know that if you've lived long enough. It's just you can write things down and say, I want to do this then, and I want to be with these people, and I'm expecting them to be ready. And it's just not always going to go that way. And you're just going to have to learn to go with the flow. Just learn to smile and make the best of things, believing God's providence has overruled your plans. By the way, that's good advice for every Christian. That's so good, I'm going to say it again. You know, we can make schedules and we can make plans, and just sometimes it's just not going to work out. And so sometimes we've just got to recognize that God's providence has overruled my schedule. And so God knows best. Just roll with it and smile and just have a good day. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You know why the Bible says that? Because it's not easy. God doesn't tell you to eat chocolate because you would automatically. Rejoice, he says, because sometimes you won't feel like it. So just do it anyways. You got something to rejoice about. All right. Number five. Here are some ideas and questions that I've used to bring people to Christ. On a cold, wintry day, the snow is coming down, and you want to go soul winning, but man, you'd look like a fool out there walking in 2 foot of snow, knocking on doors. By the way, I've done that. I've done it, man. I've done about everything. But when you're bringing a group of people and you're bringing new soul winners out, it's really not the best way to get them started. I remember, Brother Ted, I remember when the Circle Center Mall first opened up. What a mission field. What a mission field. We loaded up everybody in the van, and I remember Brother Ron Midgley getting on that van saying, so where are we going? I said, I'll tell you when we get there. He got a little nervous. We got halfway to the Circle Center Mall. I said, we're going to the mall. He said, what? I said, oh, yeah. We had some teenagers on the van. They didn't know better. I said, we're going to have us a good time. Anybody got any money? And so we had a stack of tracks. And I said, just follow my lead. We went in and spread ourselves out in that mall. I said, this is what you need to do. This is a good question. When you're in a mall and you just want to pass out tracks, rather than say, do you want one of these? Say, did you get one of these? Did you get one of these? Man, I had people flocking to me. No, I didn't get, they think they're a coupon or something, a discount card. Did you get one of these? Did you get one? Man, I had them grabbing. I talked to Joe Theismann. How many of you know who Joe Theismann is? Joe Theismann was a quarterback for the Washington Redskins who got retired permanently by the linebacker from the Giants who busted his knee. I can't remember his name. Lawrence Taylor, that's right. Oh, that was an ugly scene. That's a whole other story. But Joe Theismann was at Circle Center Mall, and I saw him, and I said, Lord, you want me to witness him? He said he was saved. Plus, I got his autograph just to validate that. Sorry I didn't bring it right this morning. But man, we I led people to the Lord. Here's what would happen. We'd hand out those tracts, and every once in a while somebody would do this. And I'd be doing this. Excuse me. Hey, let me tell you what's in that. I kid you not. At Washington Square Mall, I remember leading the starting lineup to the Franklin Central basketball team, their varsity team, to the Lord. About six guys. I know you only have five in the starting lineup. There was about six guys there. One of them was a water boy. And six of them, they all had their Franklin Central letterman's jackets on. And man, I had a couple boys with me. We were passing out tracts. And I said, just a second, fellas. Let me ask you something. I went ahead and asked this question. By the way, this is the question. Do you know for sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven? I mean, I looked him dead in the eye. I was as sincere as a heart attack. Serious as a heart attack. I think that's the way that line goes. Anyways, I looked at him, and a couple of guys said, no, no. One of them said, yes. I said, then you know what I'm talking about. And I said, fellas, let me ask you real quickly. Man, I had them huddled around here. I said, I can show you how you can know for sure in a matter of minutes. Would you take a look at it? They said, yeah. I kid you not, every one of those, we got in a little huddle there just outside of, I think it was Montgomery Ward's, inside the mall. All six of those guys bowed their heads and prayed and received Christ. I said, it works in the mall. Glory to God. It works at parks. It works in hospitals. It works in restaurants. You got to ask the question. You got to talk to people. So that's just one idea. Did you get one of these? Did you get one of these? You can go to a park. And your youth pastor's probably done this crazy stuff. You can go to a park, take you a basketball or a football. I don't know what all you girls do. Maybe a crochet kit. I don't know what you do. But get out there, have some fun. You see some boys or girls out there, play some catch with them. But here's what I do when I'm out at a court and I try to get in the game. I say, well, folks, guys, I got to tell you, I got to pray before I play. I'll take the basketball. I know this is kind of aggressive, and I realize there are certain crowds that you might want to be careful with. But I just say, hey, you got God on your side, amen? I mean, there are missionaries in third world countries that are laying it on the line. We're here in good old U.S. of A. We've got all kinds of liberties. And certainly, they wouldn't mind me having a word of prayer before I play. And I'd sit there and pray, and then I'd go ahead and pray the plan of salvation. And I'd look up at those fellas, and I'd say, now, how many of you fellas want to know for sure you're going to go to heaven when you die? Yeah, all right. I said, now, why don't you trust the Lord right now? And it'd be a good, long prayer. Man, I'd see guys saved. It was just, it's awesome. You can see people saved. Go have fun with people. Let's see. Oh, I've done this. There used to be a television show on called Highway to Heaven. Michael Landon, you know, he's this angel. I don't recommend hitchhiking. I don't recommend it. Okay, I did it. There's a lot of things I did I don't recommend. But this particular thing, I used to have fun. There's a verse in the Bible that talks about angels unaware. Okay, God will send angels unaware. I would pretend that I was one of them angels. I would vicariously pretend. Well, I am a God. We are God's messengers. Amen. That's the truth. I'd walk up to people every once in a while if I saw them by themselves, because this doesn't work as good in a group. Jesus dealt a lot with individuals. Woman at the well, you know. I'd walk up to an individual and I'd have a track. And I'd say, excuse me, sir. I don't know why, but God, well, I knew why, but God wants me to give this to you. I need to give this to you. I just tell them that. And they'd say, well, okay. You know, if God wants you to give it to him, and if God wants me to have this, and so they would take it, and I'd say, God wants me to share that with you. Can I share with you how you can be sure that heaven will be your home? I know that sounds awful bold. Friend, I tell you, I'll tell you what the Holy Spirit will do for you when you start obeying. He'll start filling you up. He starts filling you. He fills obedience. Oh, yes, he does. I believe we ought to pray. That's right. But we ought to go, too. Don't wait to get a feel-good feeling before you go soul winning. Just go. People are dying and going to hell whether you feel good or not. Go soul winning. Tell people about Christ. I guarantee you, as you go and as somebody listens, oh, my mercy, when they get saved, you're going to feel full. Boy, we cracked the daylights out of that speaker that time, didn't we? All right, I don't know what that was. Next. If you know someone who is grieving, what a great opportunity to pray with them pray for them. Someone is grieving. This past Sunday, we had a man come forward in the church service at the invitation. Raised his hand. He was sitting very back, and he wanted to be saved. And I said, come on down, come on down. You know, you just got to speak with authority. We're speaking God's Word. Come on. And he came down. I mean, and I always try to encourage everyone else to come down, too, so they don't feel embarrassed. I said, all our deacons are going to come forward and pray, and all of our teachers are going to come forward and pray. Yes, amen. Whether God spoke to you or not, you got to come forward and pray, because I want this man to feel comfortable when he's walking up this aisle brand new at the church. And so he comes forward, and I hook him up with one of our deacons. And I guess he was a tough case because they didn't finish the deal before the invitation. So we didn't get the bragging rights of telling the church that man got saved in front of the congregation. But that's all right. We're not trying to push them in. I want them to make a genuine decision. And so we closed the invitation down and let people go. And that man was still talking to the deacon was still talking to that man. I went over there and I said, Ryan, I said, did you trust Christ? He said, I don't think I can. I said, how come? He says, I've had too much take place. I said, well, what's going on? And Brother Aaron said, Pastor, you need to let him tell you what has happened. He just had a baby die like 3 or 4 days ago. He'd lived a rough life. He just had an infant, little son, die. I made mention of that in the service, too. That was pretty amazing. I said, oh. Here's a fellow, he's so brokenhearted over his son. He's not thinking about himself. Do you know there's a Bible verse that you can deal with people about that? 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 24. Someone loses a child. Oh, take him to that verse. 2 Samuel 12, 24. King David lost a baby. King David said, I cannot bring him back, but I can go to him. David was a man after God's own heart. We know he's in heaven. I looked at Ryan after showing him that verse. I said, Ryan, David, he couldn't bring his baby back either, but he had the confidence he could go to him. Ryan, do you want to have the confidence that you'll go to your baby too? He said, oh yeah. We went through the plan. He got saved. That, tell you what, that's not the first time that's happened, Brother James. I was out door-to-door soul winning in Frankfurt, just north of us. And I come to this one particular family. The most unusual thing took place. They opened the door and everybody was boo-hooing. There was about 10 people in that house just wailing, crying. I thought, my mercy, what is going on here? And a couple of them that spoke English told me a baby just died that morning of one of the young ladies in that house. And they were Catholic. I said, oh, I'm so sorry. And I offered to pray with them. And I said, I got something that can help you, though. And I took them to, I said, do you have a Bible? Well, they brought out their Catholic Bible. I said, oh, Lord, please let it say something near the same. They brought out that big old family Catholic Bible, and I flipped through thinking, oh, Lord, if it doesn't say the same, I'm going to slip mine in between here and read it. All I had was my New Testament. So it did. It read similar. And I said, look here, and I shared that same story. Man, I tell you, about 5 people in that household bowed their heads and trusted Christ as their Savior. What a blessing. What a great thing to be able to turn a burden into a blessing. Amen? It's awesome. And I tell you, when you're concerned about, truly concerned about people, about winning souls, it is so awesome. There are people that want to be saved. We just have to find them. We have to find them. Here's another way you can create or find soul winning opportunities. This is great. Number one, just ask new believers about friends and loved ones that they may be aware of that are lost. I'll guarantee you, anybody that's authentically saved, I really believe this with all my heart, anybody that's authentically saved, and I say that on purpose, they're aware of people that are lost. You can't be. You got to know. If it's real to you, they're aware. And often I've done this, even right after leading someone to the Lord. I'll say, hey, do you have a friend somewhere around the neighborhood or a family member that you'd like to hear the same message you heard? Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, here, I do special appointments here. Yeah. I jot their name and number down, so we'll go visit them. Plus, that's a great opportunity to disciple them. Take them with you. Hey, come on. I don't care if they're smoking cigarettes or whatever. Come on. They just got saved. I've had them do that. I've had them do some weird things. Eric Facy told me a story of a fella when he had taken out a brand new convert, taken him out soul winning. And they get to this house. This guy just, brand new convert. And they come to this house, and the man's real friendly. He lets them sit down, and he says, "Well, can I offer you fellas something to drink?" And Brother Capace said, "No." And the other guy said, "Well, sure." The guy comes out with a couple beers, and Brother Capace's soul-winning partner takes it, opens it. He doesn't think anything of it. He's drinking Budweiser, man. What? Are you kidding me? You guys remember him telling that story? Unbelievable. You know, but I'm not. Hey, listen. We save them and let the Word of God sanctify them. Amen. God will. But you know, we just got to learn to have a heart for souls. If it's on your mind, you're going to make opportunities. You're going to find them. I've been at the airport and I've been on an airplane and I've been able to lead people to Christ. It's been a blessing. Listen, we know we're not going to win everybody, but when the Spirit of God, when you're looking, you're going to find opportunities, and some are going to be obvious. And as you take advantage of those, it's going to stir you up. I'll tell you what, Brother James and I went out this past Saturday. Brother James, you blessed my heart so much. I'm going to share this. I'm going to brag on you for just a moment. What time do I got to let out here, Brother Phillips? 10 minutes ago? All right, I got to share this. Brother James, man, he joined our church 6 months ago, 8 months ago. And this past Saturday, and I believe for the first time, you called me. He calls me on a Saturday morning. He said, "Pastor, what time is soul winning?" He hadn't been at soul winning. Brother James is going to go soul winning. I said, "Brother, it's at 11 o'clock. I said, "I'll be there." I was running a little bit late myself. And late for me is like not being a half hour early. And so I got there and he was there. And we sorted everybody out. And I took James with me. And I said, "I tell you what, brother, we're going to go to this apartment here. And then from there, we're going to hit this street. It's a little chilly out. I thought we'll go to this apartment. And Lord willing, we'll get something good and be stuck inside." But so we hit this apartment. First goal, we come to a lady that had been to our church a couple years ago, recognized me. I introduced myself. She didn't seem real interested, but I just kind of chatted with her and told her, "Hey, listen, I'm so glad you came, and I'm praying for you." And I said, "I want to keep you in prayer." And I said, "Before I go," because she kind of shut us down. I asked the question up front, and she didn't seem interested. I said, "Well, I'll tell you what, Vicki." I said, "Do you have anything I can pray with you about?" And she had a friend in the room named Linda Craven. Both these ladies probably in the mid-50s, early 60s. And Linda kind of chuckled over there, like, "Do we ever, you know?" And I said, "Well, I'll pray for you too. I'll pray for you." And so she began to talk. That opened things up. Just offering to pray for them. She wouldn't hear me when I said, "Do you know for sure if you die today, you go to heaven?" That didn't interest her. But when I said, "Do you have anything I can pray with you about? And I have my pen ready to write," she started talking. She let us in, and we sat down on the couch there. To make a long story short, as we listened to these gals, by the way, as Brother Albert said, if you were in that class, take time to listen. Let them talk. And let them know you're listening to them by responding to what they're saying. It's obvious when we're not listening, because we don't have a clue what a person's saying. Respond. And after they got done talking, boy, I said, "Well, I'm going to pray for you, Linda. I'm going to pray for you." I can't remember the exact details, but I do know this. I end up asking the question again. And they both prayed. All the tears come down Linda's eyes. You can see the countenance change in their face. And all of a sudden, Vicki says to Linda, "Isn't this something? You happen to be visiting, talking to a friend, Linda. Same day these guys come by." And now she's seeing the providence of God working in her life. And I'm thinking, just a little while ago, she wasn't even that interested. Glory to God, it's exciting. It's exciting. If you just go, if you take time, all the rest of the great things. I can tell you all kinds of stories. We don't have time. But in this creating opportunities, you've got to first of all decide, "I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it." Let's pray. Father, bless what has been said. Encourage these folks. Keep them fired up for you. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.